the world do you stick to meal planning when you find it boring? Now, when it comes to meal planning, it's celebrated for its endless benefits to saving you time, money, and then it helps you to eat healthier, right? But when it comes to the routine and the mundane of eating the same food every single day, or just the prepping process itself, it can actually feel boring. So if you find yourself struggling with meal prep boredom, here are actionable ways that are going to help you keep things interesting and maintain your commitment to losing weight, eating healthier, or just learning to cook meals where you're not worried about what's for dinner every single night. Now, if this sounds like you and you know a friend also, share it with her. But let's get into today's episode, how to stick to meal planning when you find it boring. Do you ever feel like it's easier to eat a bowl of cereal than come up with ideas for low effort but nourishing recipes? Because you really hate cold food and salads are not it for you. The mental load of it when you're spending hours on strategy and generating original ideas and content can leave you mentally exhausted. I mean, even asking yourself, what do I want to eat, can feel exhausting in itself. Hello friends, my name is Verona and you're listening to the Lose Weight with Macros podcast, where we break down macros-based meal planning into manageable bites tailored to fit into your crazy entrepreneurial life. And because I know accountability is key, I'm going to be with you every step of the way, making sure this isn't just another failed diet attempt for you to start over again on Monday. So grab a pen or just use Apple Notes and let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back, or welcome to the show, Lose Weight with Meal Planning. My name is Verona and I'm a meal planning coach who helps women who struggle to make healthy choices. I help you find time to make them. We don't have to do elaborate meal planning in this show, but we do need to be consistent with the things that we are doing. And that's exactly what I'm going to help you do today. And that's what I also help you with in VIPmealplan.com. What's VIPmealplan.com, you ask? I'm glad you did. Head over to the page right now, VIPmealplan.com. And if you're somebody who's been listening to me for a while, or you know that you're a woman who's ready to take action, I've opened up some one-to-one coaching spaces and you can put in your application now. That's over at VIPmealplan.com. Now, when it comes to meal planning, how do you make it not boring? Firstly, you want to spice things up, quite literally, and also with variety. Now, I know you want to save time and I know you want to make it easy on yourself. If this is something you love, don't change it. But if you're somebody who struggles with meal planning and you find it boring like I did, way before I became a nutrition coach, way before I became a meal planning coach, and way before I created a whole entire cookbook on the series and a whole top 1% podcast on the topic, I actually learnt that meal planning wasn't it for me. I actually was like, no, I'm done. I'm done eating the same chicken, broccoli and rice. I tried. The gurus that we saw, Gym Trainer Brad and Gym Trainer Brittany, who we want to look like, I just want a booty like hers. I just want a body like hers. Let me see what you did. What did you do? What exercise did you do? What food did you eat? And of course, when they show us the foods that we ate, we try. And I give you that because we do try. But we don't like it. You know that you don't like broccoli. So why are you trying to eat the broccoli just because Gym Trainer Brad and Gym Trainer Brittany are telling you to eat that bland, boring broccoli? And the thing is, you don't even like it because you don't even know how to cook it. The broccoli ain't green no more. You've overcooked it to the point that it's brown and there ain't no nutrients in it. Listen, we're not eating baby food here. If you're somebody who's weaning your baby, you know that you've got to really cook those things and mash them up splendidly. But if that's not you, why are you trying to force yourself to eat the things that you don't like? But unfortunately, I was hard-headed and that was my life. I thought if I listened to these people and I aspired and I looked online and I saw, right, this is the body that I look like. You've got a similar body shape to me. Now this is your after. I want to do what you need. I want to do what you did so I can get the results that you got. But we don't actually know what it is that they did to get the results that they've got and how extensive they tried to go and get it. Many of them have gone to supplements. Many of them have done steroids. Many of them have done other things. But you know you ain't gonna do that. So why do we do it? I've gone off on a tangent here, but my point here in that long story was I used to hate meal planning. And it isn't because I've turned a meal planning coach or I've got qualified in nutrition that I suddenly like meal planning. Until I learned to change my food. Because I was eating the same things. I was eating the same boring food. There was no seasoning. There was no spice. And it was just boring. It was so boring until I learned to do that. And that's the thing, when it comes to meal planning, sometimes we make it way more complicated than we need to. But if you're going to focus on making meal planning less boring, I'm giving you 10 things that you can focus on today. I'm recording this on a Thursday. Say you happen to listen to it on a Friday, you can start putting these things into practice ready for the next week so that you're ready to make meal planning less boring. Explore different cuisines or ways to cook the same foods and include diversity in your meals. We need to have more than just salt and pepper and a little bit of butter in the rice. We need to do more than that. Okay. If you've never had jasmine rice before, try to explore with jasmine rice. What foods go well with jasmine rice? And the only way for you to know that is for you to try or you follow a recipe. If you follow a recipe and it doesn't come out like the recipe, it doesn't matter. You've done what you can do, and then you can make small changes to it, and this can make a big difference in refreshing your meals if you're somebody who likes to have the same thing every single day. God bless you, because that ain't me. Okay. Sometimes I'll do that if the thing is absolutely amazing. It doesn't last until the next day. I'll eat it the same night because it's so good. And that example was one of my rasta pastas. Generally, if you're not spicing up life, we're going to live a boring life and we're going to eat boring food. But number two, you want to make it a social activity. You can prep with your friends or your family. Turn meal prep into an actual social event by inviting your friends or your family to cook with you. If you all can't cook, well, you're going to find a challenge there. But do something. You can hire a chef, put together collectively, and get someone to come to your house and teach you. If I was in your neighborhood, I'd come round and do that for you to teach you how to do it yourself. But this doesn't only make the process more enjoyable, but it actually can introduce you to new recipes and techniques because you've got a variety of people around who bring their own culinary experience, cuisine, taste, etc. If you don't like it, you ain't gonna never try it again. But that's okay. The point here is that you're trying it because we're trying to get away from the same mundane eating chicken, broccoli, and rice every single day. I've seen it time and time again. I'm asked questions like, what else can I make with minced beef that isn't just tacos? So you see how tacos is quite easy, but I mean, the kids are getting bored of tacos every morning. Mum, do we have to have tacos again? Number three, mix and match. When you get to master the mix and match technique, you are in it with the big guns. This is where you're starting to prep components instead of full meals. You prepare a variety of proteins, veggies, grains, and then sauces. Don't forget the sauces. Don't forget the condiments. We do not want to be eating dry food that looks like you're in the Sahara Desert. Okay. You're mixing and you're matching these things throughout the week. So you're not having the same thing every week. If you start to adopt this approach, you then get more flexibility, and this then allows you to create and make different meals, but you're using the same ingredients. When it comes to meal planning, friends, I am a coach that helps you make it make sense. If you're somebody who needs accountability to put these things into practice, you're in the right place. You're listening to the right episode today, because at the time of this episode, I've opened up some applications. Head over to the website, vipmealplan.com. That's the one-to-one coaching program where we will put all of these things into practice and help you create a focused nutrition plan that isn't just having the same things every single day. Number four, this might be something you've heard before, but you want to focus on thematic meal planning or meal prepping. What does that even mean? So you're dedicating a day of the week to a specific theme: meatless Monday, taco Tuesday, stir fry Friday, etc., etc. This will give you an element of fun and anticipation to your meal routine, and it's amazing for the kids to get involved in too. Number five, hello, you're doing it now. So you've already established one of these. This one is listen to podcasts. Entertain yourself while prepping. Listen to me while you're meal prepping. Listen to others. If you're somebody who likes horror, listen to that. I mean, true crime stories, you can listen to that while you're cooking. If you're somebody who has children and you don't want them to have the nightmares, then I wouldn't recommend that you listen to that. If you're somebody who likes to listen to things about gut health, listen to things about gut health. Listen to things. There's podcasts on every kind of topic. You can listen to Christian podcasts. I listen to some Christian podcasts. I listen to some business podcasts. I listen to some gut health podcasts. I listen to some business podcasts. Listen to something. It doesn't have to be a podcast. It can be an audiobook. It can be your music playlist. It can be a gym playlist where you're like, yeah, doom, 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 doom. And that kind of jump, that kind of bass in your bones is helping you to get a drive to do what you want. And it can transform your prep time into something for entertainment with your dancing skills or for learning. Whichever it is, you're doing it now and you're taking the steps to do it. This is halfway there, and we're halfway through the points on that point. But if you're somebody who is in that position where you're struggling, and I know when it comes to nutrition, it's hard. I'm not going to pretend that nutrition is easy. It's a bag of chips. It's all good. And, you know, it's randy dandy. Because if it was, I wouldn't be in my business as a coach. Everybody would have taken me out of business a long time ago. But it's about finding ways where you can meet the dietary requirements that you and your family need. What's healthy for you to eat? What will help create a healthy foundation for you and your family to build upon? That isn't just, do we need to eat that again? And I get it. I get there's so much misinformation out there. And you might even ask yourself, can cooking at home actually be as satisfying as eating at a restaurant? What is it about the restaurant eating that you don't like about your home cooking? What is it about your home cooking that you don't like in the restaurant cooking? So is it worth it to attend cooking classes? Yeah, if you absolutely need to attend the cooking class, if you're a member of the coaching, then we're doing this anyway. So I'm doing this where I live in the UK, teaching you how to cook. And if you're somebody who asks, should I invest time in learning more about meal prepping? Absolutely. It's a skill. Meal prepping and meal planning is a skill to have. Like brushing our teeth, like combing our hair, like trying out different styles, like learning how to lose weight, like learning how to go to the gym. It's 100% a skill that we need. And cooking more, especially when it comes to more diverse meals at home, can actually reduce the urge for you to eat out. So if you're somebody who wants to actually learn how to meal plan, so you reduce the amount of times that you eat out. I'm not saying that you need to cut it out altogether, but I'm saying if you want to have a balance, it's helping you to do that, and it's helping you to enjoy the things that matter for you if you're somebody is single and for you and your family. Now, of course, if you're somebody who views cooking as a chore and you're like, how can I make it more enjoyable? Then this is what we're talking about, how you can incorporate new cooking skills into your everyday life, even when you are busy. So many of us have that justification, don't we? We have that reason in our, oh, you know what, I'm just too busy to, so we don't. And we know that we want to, and we ask questions like, should I? Can I? Can learning new cooking techniques actually save us money? Well, how are you going to know if you don't try? You're never going to know if you constantly go to eat out, or you constantly revert to convenience food, or you don't cook, or you feel like cooking is a chore. But when we break down these barriers that sometimes we've put up, that we've learned from dieting, that we've picked up along the way, when we learn to break those down and actually address managing your diet restrictions and food cost, that can seem overwhelming, which was one of my things. How am I ever going to meal plan if I've got GERD, geosophical reflux disease? How am I going to do that? Healthy food is expensive. Compared to what? Compared to the bills that we pay? Compared to the sickness that we go through? Because if you're looking at it from that perspective, compared to your family being without you because you haven't fixed the health issues that you need to. When we're comparing things in that stark reality, we buck up our ideas pretty quickly. But we have to be the person who says, I want to maintain a healthy diet, but I'm finding it hard with my current budget, but I'm willing to try. You see, where we often put periods, we need to start putting commas. And that's all we need to be. We need to be in that position where we're willing to try. Number six, investing in time-saving tools. Now, when it comes to meal planning, we need to simplify the process, okay? Slow cookers, instant pots, food processors, they can cut down the time that we cook significantly. And it makes the process a whole lot less daunting. If you're somebody who does sign up for the coaching, you'll get my full meal planning toolkit guide. Number seven, this is something that we don't always do well, but it will pay off if you do it. Be bold and challenge yourself. Set goals or set challenges. One thing I will say to you here is if you happen to not meet one of the goals that you've outlined in the challenge, do not start again. You do not need to start over and over again. This is how we build resilience. This is how we build new habits. This is how we build discipline, by continuing. In fact, I recently had a conversation with a friend and I wanted to be intentional about gut health. So my blood markers came up. I've never had a hormonal blood test before. I've had normal bloods, but I've never had a hormonal blood test before. Now it came back and I was like, okay, this is interesting. And a lot of it is diet based. A lot of it is gut health based, which I knew anyway. But I wanted to check my hormonal markers, so things like my teeth, my thyroid hormones. Now in this hormonal test, there were some of those duplicate tests, but there weren't the T3 and the T4 hormone levels, and the most important, to see pre-diabetic. I'm none of those, thank the Lord. But it's something that I encourage you to do if you are going to go in on your nutrition. And I had a friend who said, yeah, we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. Unfortunately, there are people that you can do this journey with, and there are people that can't. You can't. And we have to identify who those people are, and then we make an appropriate plan to move on with them, or we move on without them. Unfortunately, the friend that I chose to do it with is very much still involved in a diet culture. If you have that rationalization or you have that mentality, how many times are you going to justify or rationalize that this makes sense? How many times are you going to rationalize that this is a normal way of behaving when it comes to nutrition? But I was talking about friends and family members and people who mean well when it comes to challenging us. But sometimes where they are is separate to where you're going. And we have to accept that. We have to accept not everybody is meant to walk with us in every season of our life. And some people, it's okay to let them go. It is. It's okay to let them go. And my point on that story is, if you're wondering, like, why are you telling me that? It's because when you set a challenge for yourself, you have to outline what is it you're willing to do? What is it you don't want to do? One of my things in the challenge is I am not starting again. I do not believe in stopping and starting and starting and stopping. If I start, I'm continuing. And in fact, there was a point where I was so stressed on one of these days. I still work in a day job. I hadn't had this stress in a job for a long time. And I don't think anybody should have this stress. And if you do, just be mindful of you, your body and your mental health and what you are willing to accept, because we shouldn't be accepting that. I know we might need money. I know we might need funds. I know we might need all of those things, but our health is more important than that. And it got to a point where I got stressed and I was doing this. This was day two of the challenge, quote unquote challenge. And I no longer call it a challenge now, but it was day two. And I was to the point where when I go out to do gym in the morning, my routine is gym in the morning. When I come home, I am ravenous, especially when it's a leg day. I'm ready to eat the whole house down. This particular morning was a rest day. And when I got up, I'm having this anxiety that I don't want to go to work, this apprehension. There was a meeting at 3 o'clock. It was 8 a.m. in the morning. Why am I filling myself with anxiety at 8 o'clock in the morning about a meeting that's going to take place at 3 o'clock? And I could not eat. Usually I would have eggs, some sourdough bread and some avocado toast. In my head, I could not feel, in my head, you don't feel your appetite in your head, do you? But in my head, I was contemplating just eating those eggs because the eggs had been done and I was just contemplating eating those. And I began eating the eggs because I was like, I haven't got an appetite to eat the whole food. But then sense kicked in and then I buttered the toast, didn't have avocado on it because I just couldn't be bothered. I didn't have that drive like I normally did. And in fact, like I had the day before. 3 o'clock meeting finally came and all of that pent up anxiety that I was having, thinking I'm not good enough or thinking that they're going to think this. Half of the people ended up leaving the meeting because they got called into another meeting and then the meeting ended up early. And I was like, I spent the whole day having anxiety about this, not comfort food. I ended up going to order myself a Chinese. And that for me, one of the points on this 75 days to better gut health was reducing my intake of processed food. Now, reducing doesn't mean cutting it out altogether over 75 days. It means reducing what you eat on a normal basis. That's what it means. But when you have, and I know I've labored on this point a little bit, but when you have friends in your ear that tell you methods that you know that are not right for you, you can feel it, you can question it. Instead of asking, how am I? How was your day? Because they knew that I was stressed. They actually said, how was your day? I'm going to start again. And I'm like, this ain't for me. I really can't. I ain't going to do it no more. This is not for me. In fact, I actually said, yeah, I'm going to start again. But then when I really thought about it, I was like, who am I starting again for? Me or you? And that's the thing. Sometimes people put their things onto you and expect you to stay in line with what they would do for themselves. But what they're telling you to do, it's not even working for them. Now, I hope you understood that story and I hope you understood where I'm going with that story and my heart with the story. We have to be wise as to whose voice we listen to the most and sometimes even our own, because it might not be telling us good things. But we have to be wise as to whose voice we allow to speak into our life. We allow to speak over our children. We allow to speak over our destinies. We allow to speak over our finances, our relationships. My friends, I'm getting ready to preach here today. Doesn't mean that they don't love you. Doesn't mean that they don't love themselves. In this moment and this season of your life, keep your mouth quiet. Okay. Sometimes you cannot bring everybody where you're going. You just need to stay silent. Ask God who are the ride or die ones that will be with you. And if you need to eat a burger, they're going to eat a burger with you and you keep moving together. That's what a coach, as I coach you, that's how I coach you when it comes to, and I'm getting passionate about it today. That's how I coach you. Because if we constantly fall into that place of, oh, I failed, I'm a failure. And you've been there. Whether you're successful in your business and you meet your KPIs or you're successful in your household, that self-sabotage, it can come dressed as your best friend. It can come dressed as your husband. In that moment, they're ready to take you out with one word. Oh, but I thought you said you was on a diet. Get out of here. Immediately, if I swore, I'd enter it right there. You'd hear a swear word. My point here is, and I labored on it because it's so important. I see it as a coach a lot. I often see it so much, especially for ourselves and people that we love. And we let in and we get hurt. We get hurt and we get discouraged and we build up a wall and then another one goes up. I've built up walls. But When it comes to challenging yourself, setting goals or challenges, let them be challenges that you can actually do. Let them be goals that you can actually attain. Let them be goals that are realistic, because goals keep you motivated and help you make meal prep feel like an achievement. But if you're constantly starting again, what are you achieving? You don't end up achieving anything if you continue to start over. Now we're going to move on to point 8, 9 and 10. But how did that story end? Unfortunately, they stopped messaging me. Where they said that we're going to do this together, we're going to keep each other accountable, I have yet to hear back from them. And they tell me their side of how they're getting on. But I have been a person through therapy. I've had to get therapy because this has been something that I've struggled with for a long time. I've had to be a person where you become resilient. And I'm a woman of faith. I'm a Christian woman here. So the Bible and my relationship with Christ is fundamental. But we have to learn to discern whose voice is going to be prominent in our life. I'm not saying that you need to go and take off your bra, spring it around your head, and then be like, you know what? Yes, it's Verona, you're my suffragette woman. I ain't saying that we do that. I'm not saying that we rally together and we do that, and then we end up going Lone Rangers. What I am saying is we need to be aware of whose voice we allow into our lives and our ears that end up influencing the direction that we're going to take. We got all of that from a challenge. But my point on that number seven was challenge yourself, set goals or challenges. And that just came for me, reminded me of a story about a challenge. But we have to be very careful of who we allow to dictate our course of life. Woo, girl. Number 8, embrace leftovers creatively. Let's get back into it. That was a bit of a deep thing, wasn't it? But reinvent your leftovers. Now, there are women who have said, no, I don't like meal planning because of the leftovers. There are women who cook every single night. And I've been like, how have you got time to cook every single night? Hello, am I not cooking every single night? And I absolutely love it. I absolutely love cooking every single night because that's the season of life that I'm in. And I believe as a coach, meal planning has seasons. There's going to be days where you've got time to prep. There's going to be days coming up to the summer where you just want to eat a salad. And that's where the mason salad jars come into play. There's going to be a time when you're like, you know what, I want me some gumbo. Or there's some time that you want some hard food. If you're from the Caribbean, you know that you want some yams, some dashing, some green bananas, some plantains, some rice and peas all on one plate. You know how we like to pack up our plates. But there's going to be different seasons in your life where you're going to require different things and a different approach. And that is okay. Leftovers can be part of your meal planning approach, but you have to reinvent them. Instead of you eating the same meal multiple times, unless you love it, think about how your leftovers can be put and turned into new dishes. Now, actually, let me check to see if it's on Netflix still. There was this show that I saw on Netflix. Now, can you guess the name? I'll give you a clue. Leftovers, yeah? The clue is in the name. Let me actually get the name if it's still on there. It's actually called Best Leftovers Ever. It was in 2020. It was so good. I watched this. This must have come out over the pandemic. But it's so good. So basically, the cooks use food from a children's party. Oh, actually, this is talking about the episode. But basically, the best leftovers, they get a set of leftovers that's left over from somewhere. And I'm assuming they've done their testing beforehand to make sure that it's good for consumption. And then you've got 3 judges on the panel. And then they are given they're given like a script on what they're going to do with those leftovers or the meal that they're going to create. And they do it for a $10,000 prize. So these people have already started to cook. They like to cook. So they've got pre-ideas in it. So say, for example, you might have Chinese noodles, you might have birthday cake, and you might have some tacos and a wrap. You can include some other ingredients, but you've got to use 2 out of 3 from the ingredients or the leftovers that's there. And it's such a really good show. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to that level, but if you're somebody who gets stuck for ideas, go and have a look at that show. I mean, you would never know how you can make birthday cake and noodles into a new dish. Now, you and I probably won't have time to do that. But the idea is, it's giving you creativity. And the narrative that they give you is an understanding of what foods you can put together and what not. But you might be able to just turn last night's roasted chicken into today's chicken salad. That's something that's all over Instagram. And I absolutely love doing it with chickpeas and some celery. And I just blitz that up shortly so it looks like more tuna or chicken consistency. And I put in some vegan mayo. I don't have raisins, but you can put some currants in it. Then you can eat that with toasted pita bread. That for your nachos? Oh, come on. Let's end this episode. Number 9 and number 10, let's get into it because we did a long therapy session there. But number 9 is batch cook your basics. Spend time or spend your prep time cooking your basic ingredients in bulk. Rice, beans, quinoa, potatoes, or chicken. This is what you can use as building blocks for different recipes throughout the week. This might mean that you need to have a little bit more time on the front end, but we'll talk about what would be realistic for you and then just kind of knock out some ideas so that you can go and do this. This method will actually help you reduce boredom because it allows you to have spontaneity. And I'm all about spontaneity in your meals as well as your life. And number 10, treat yourself. Treat yourself. You can have meals that you like and that you enjoy. Make sure your meal plan has one of the meals that you like a week that you genuinely get excited about. That can be a healthy meal. That can be a meal that isn't unhealthy if that's what you want, because your goals are not for me. My goal is to cut out junk food because it doesn't agree with my body. And it's harder than it sounds. Okay. But once you get into it, your body will naturally start to crave those foods. Treating yourself doesn't always need to be food related, by the way. That is one thing that I know that I struggled with when I was in the diet culture is food is treated as a reward. So when you lose 5 pounds, I'm going to eat my food that they said I couldn't eat this week. But what ends up happening is you get a little bit of water retention and water weight because you're indulging and eating a quick succession of simple carbohydrates. But you automatically think, oh my gosh, I've regained the 5-10 pounds. It's not worth it. Let me start again. Now you see how I don't do that restrictive method or mindset, because I was stuck in that for almost 20 years. So when people, family, close to you, friends or whoever, trusted mentor, whoever it is, come to you and they don't know your story, or even if they do know your story, we have to be strong in that instance and say, where did I go when I did this restrictive method? I know for me, it was a dark place. So I cannot go back to that place again. And sometimes you might have to put your foot down. Sometimes you might have to be insistent that, no, sorry, this is not for me. And we might struggle saying no. I struggled with saying no. I'm telling you, when I got counseling, it changed my life. When I met Jesus, he changed my life. I mean, and now this is what I help women do. Help you find your voice in your own head, in your own nutrition. It's going to take some work, honey, but we're going to get there. Now, in wrapping up, because we've been here for a while, and I love the fact that you're here. You could be listening. You could be folding clothes. You could be doing anything. But meal prepping doesn't have to feel like a chore. By putting in, even if it's a little smidget of creativity, variety and fun into what you're doing, you can actually make it an enjoyable part of your routine. Now, the goal of meal prep is to simplify your life. Let me say it again. The goal of meal prep is to actually simplify your life and improve your health. So find the balance that keeps you encouraged, motivated, excited about your food that you're going to eat. You'd be jumping up and down like, oh my gosh, is it dinner time yet? People think, wait, is this one of the kids? No. But when you get this level of freedom in your food, when you get this level of freedom, watch how meal prepping can become sustainable and a pleasurable habit in your life. We could be here forever. And I just feel like you and I have just pulled up a chair and we've just chatted amongst the coffee and some cake, even though I don't like cake. But we've just done that. And sometimes it's a great 10 steps to easy meal prep. Those songs are great. But sometimes I kind of go off script. And those are good episodes because that's where the gold is. That's where the nugget is. And I believe it's somebody who needs to hear this. If it's not you, send it to a friend who comes to your mind. Oh my gosh, so-and-so, I wish you could hear that. Send it to her because you never know what it will do. She may never be able to thank you, but she knows that this is needed for her to hear. That's a wrap for today, friends. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions, reach out to me on Instagram at @loseweightwithmealplanning. If you don't have Instagram, what are you doing? No, if you don't have Instagram, that's okay. You can email me support@vanutritioncoaching.co.uk. All of the ways to reach me or to apply for one-to-one coaching will be in the show notes below. I can't wait, my friends, to see you in the next one. And just like that, friend, we've come to the end of today's episode. You've been listening to Lose Weight with Macros. I'm your host, Verona, where we break down macros-based meal planning into manageable bites tailored to fit into your crazy entrepreneurial life. Now, friends, if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to leave a review and share it with another solopreneur or small business owner. Together, we're going to help you find the time that you do have to meal prep in a way that is so not boring. And my friends, if you're interested in coaching or the courses, head over to the website vanutritioncoaching.co.uk, and I'll see you in the next one.